So I was in the drive-thru at In-N-Out Burger here in Austin, and I had a really awesome, talented design director text me. He's like, "Hey, Neil, I was listening to your podcast. I loved it. Oh, man, great subject matter." Of course, you know, I'm just like, wow, I'm in the drive-thru. I have time to text you back. And he goes, "Well, Neil, I have this thing, right? Like, I'm not a content designer myself, but I have a content design team, right? I personally lean on these new AI platforms to write copy." For those that are listening, you've heard of them. There's Jasper AI is one of them. They just came out recently. They're here in Austin. They write your long form blog content. You use an AI bot to generate massive amounts of blog content. There's a couple others out there. Copy.ai, writer.com or writer AI, who's actually doing a pretty cool taxonomy panel that I thought I saw on LinkedIn. And I think some folks from the content strategy realm are going to be there. But anyways, he's like, I'm using these AI platforms as these tools, and I feel like I'm like cheating on my content design team. Like, how do I talk to them about the fact that I use these tools because I'm not a writer and they're useful, but it's also sort of overlapping with their talents? And I told him, well, I mean, that's going to happen, right? Like, we're going to have these platforms that come out and do the writing. And I believe like Writer AI or Copy AI, they do some styling and some voice features to where you can hone in on a personality and whatnot. So that's why I texted him back and I said, you know, it's all right. We're going to fall back on these tools to do writing at scale, sure. But in the future, you should be, or right now, you should be deferring to your content team about how to really nail the voice and the personality of your brand. That's what I call persona building. More on that in another episode and later. But really, it's this idea that, sure, AI bots are going to dish out copy, but how do we as content designers become the experts in the actual voice and tone of these, and the personality and the nuances that make you sound different from the next person who's chunking out the same type of content with the same types of presets for their voice and their AI tools and all of that. It's really going to come down to how content designers are flexing that muscle of personality and voice. I don't know if you listen to Derek Thompson's Plain English podcast, but he brought on a guy named Kevin Roos who writes for the New York Times, and they were talking about these AI writing tools. And Kevin had a really cool prediction that all of our experiences would, in the near future, would eventually be fed to us by AI that give us custom content that appears in the voice and the modes and in the nature that we would want to see things, which sounds very logical. He used like he's an editorial person, and so he used like an editorial from the New York Times. He's like, he opened the New York Times and the homepage, it's dynamically generating content in the right voice and way, and I guess like leads or whatever that would appeal to you based on how an AI reads what you want to see and so forth. And so to me, my brain went in overdrive there. It's like, oh, wow, hyper-segmentation, right? Like, can we beat somebody to the punch in terms of the type of personality of a brand voice that we want to see and digest? I know it's very long-winded, but my point is that it's going to come down to voice and tone rules, personality traits, building people and personalities and molding the AI and being experts in that, that's going to be really crucial for content design. So yeah, back to the text message. I told him, hey, if you're watching a movie, you watch a movie because all the different cast members are different. You don't watch a movie to watch the same actor play all the different cast members. And he was like, yeah, that totally makes sense. And I was like, your content design team is going to get better and better at personality and voice and tone, and they're going to know the nuances to edit that content and refine it even further to really nail the voice that the brand needs to be. I think everyone who's listening, like, an editor's job is never done. I think we've always been tweaking and bending the words and the nuances to really sound on brand, and we never really ever think that we're ever done and can hit it and nail it. We're always chasing that perfect edit to make something sound on voice and on tone. And so I think that's where we're going to come into play. I responded to him before I knew it. I was due to pick up my cheeseburger and pay for it and riding off into the sunset with my In-N-Out burger. By the way, this is not an In-N-Out burger ad. That was just like just some interesting moments that happened. But yeah, I it was a great exchange and I really appreciate it. And I thought I'd cold open the old podcast with that one. So welcome back to Storytelling for Content Design. My name is Neil Petty. Welcome back to Storytelling for Content Design. My name is Neil Petty. Oh my goodness. Thank you for all the listens and the subscribes and the comments on every episode. And we're here. We're finally going to get to an episode that gets into the nitty gritty. I know the first one was an intro and the second one was a little bit of a primer on the subject matter. I hope you listened to that. And now we're here. We're going to start to get into the meat and the potatoes, the subject matter. And yeah, we're coming out of the gate with a tutorial, and I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm going to talk to you about how to get started building a brand voice for your company, because I think voice building and building rules for voice and tone are going to be crucial for the metaverse and the future of building content and content design. That ability to create do's and don'ts and traits of personality, I like to call it persona building. I think it's going to be crucial when it comes to the metaverse. I think that content designers are poised to be experts in it. And more on that later. I'm going to have an entire episode dedicated to theories and predictions around all that we can all nerd out on. But I think right now, you can be the expert as a content designer in helping lead and build a brand voice for your company. And that's what I want to teach you to do over the next couple episodes. It's going to be a two-part series. Real quick, before we get into it, I just want to say thanks for listening again. And don't forget, I'm taking emails. You can email me at sfcdpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your questions. I'd love to get your comments, any ideas that you're energized about, especially as we turn this new quarter with metaverse and AI and programs writing for us and all of that fun stuff. Let's embrace the elephant in the room. Let's talk about those interesting and scary, but also awesome things that are right around the corner. So this is part one of how to build a brand voice. I want to just give a really quick disclaimer that we're not going to get into building the actual style guide in this episode just yet. This is just kind of a how to get a sense of the company you work for and gather signals so you can start the process of building a brand voice for your company. And again, I think this is the immediate thing you can do, which will pay off in the long run when things like persona building and personality writing and all of that strategy comes into play down the road for metaverse and AI. This is going to be like laying the foundation, asking the right questions, talking to the right people, and really walking you through what that process looked like and how it worked for me. I mean, I've done this for gigantic corporate companies. I've also done it for like more mid-sized companies. And then of course, small, scrappy, kind of founder-driven DTC startups who want to have a point of view in terms of their brand voice and their copy. And so want to roll all this experience up, want to pass it along to you so you can learn the chops and then benefit later as more on the AI metaverse stuff in a later episode. So voice and tone. Brand voice is your personality, right? It's steadfast. It never changes. When you build a voice and tone for a brand, it is who you are. Copywriters become experts in it. You can read something and say, ah, that's Nike. Ah, that's Glossier. Ah, that's J. Crew. And absolutely know it with no question. I think it's, to me, one of the most important facets of all creative. It's like your color palette for design, only in words. And being a words person, I get really excited about it. And I've really been kind of always a champion of it in any project that I've been on. For example, some companies can be kind of similar. You're probably like, well, I read one company and they all sound like the same. Well, as writers, I think we can spot the nuances between something like a Samsung and a Nike. While they might be kind of similar, there are some differences. For example, Nike is a bold and confident brand. You could also say Apple has a bold and confident tone too. I've got the Nike.com site up right now. I see a call out for the new fleece and it says, new fleece sets for the win, FTW. We all know that acronym. And basically, that's this confident tone that's very bold and it's going to be like, hey, these are the fleece sets that are going to take you all the way. We're not, you know, in your athleisure or whatever you're doing. Then if you go and you look at Apple right now, you read iPad, there's a call out for iPad. It says lovable, drawable, magical. Each of these words is separated by a period to kind of give that same bold, imperative tone, I would call it, right? But if you held these two side by side, which I'm doing right now, you can see they're both bold and imperative in their own confident ways, but Nike tends to lean on a bit more of the confident, aspirational side, likely because of the athlete angle, and then iPad has a bit more of that creativity aspect to it. It's a little nerdy, you know, descriptor words like lovable and drawable. You know, they're not things we say every day, but they kind of made it up as they, you know, for the moment, right? And so there you can see the two separate, distinct modes of voice come into play. So I learned the importance of voice because I started in the digital agency world back in 2010 years, like 2008, 2010, kind of into 2012. We were all called copywriters. I was a senior copywriter at an agency, but at the same time, I was working purely on content strategy. I was working on giant spreadsheets because we were doing redesigns for iPhones and responsive redesigns for mobile apps and things like that. The whole nine yards were in there. And so I was doing a lot of content strategy. And because I focused on as many accounts as I could be on as possible, I always noticed that, hey, every one of these accounts has a style guide and they have a way that they want to sound. And so I would switch accounts and say maybe be working on Coca-Cola, and then later that year I'm maybe working on like Citibank, and it's like, okay, these are completely different personalities, completely different styles and voice of tone. Sometimes if they didn't have a style guide, we would create it, and it would have those nuances kind of like I described in the Nike, Apple examples there. So content designers are getting more and more involved in the process of brand voice. Sometimes it depends on the organization. The brand voice is left up to marketing and creative. Like that team might take it and run with it. Sometimes there's a brand strategy team and they have generated this voice and tone guide. So it gets handed off to the content designers or UX writers as rules to work with. But I do feel that that is changing. I am a living, breathing case study where I did help lead a voice and tone exercise for a big corporation, but I was also on the design team. I wasn't on the creative team. But I did work very in closely collaboration with them, and collaboration is going to be key. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But content designers, I think, are getting more and more involved, and I think the more we can get involved, the better. The idea is that the process of building a voice for your brand at such a giant scale, like this is the big, big enchilada of your voice and tone that manifests all writing, that's going to break down into very smaller chunks, right? Into smaller little cases where you'll have to strategize voice and tone for something like maybe an AI persona that lives in the metaverse. You might be doing it right now just for your chatbot. I'm sure the folks that worked on Alexa and Watson have this point of view on those, even though, yes, they are rather neutral when it comes to personality on purpose. Like they do have some fundamentals that coincide with those bots, but I think there's going to be a million other different forms. And so this is a muscle you want to flex. This is an exercise you want to learn and want to do. Again, this is part one. This is how to get started. And without further ado, we're going to get into data-driven companies and then sort of more emotive founder-driven companies. I'm going to talk about the differences there and how to start getting the juices flowing for brand voice and tone. All right. So let's say you're working at a company. It's your first week and you're a content designer and you meet everybody and then you start to look at the existing content. And of course, you tell yourself, oh my goodness, all this writing is not that good. You start to ask people, why do we say that? And the response is like, well, a developer wrote it. A PM wrote it. Someone was in a hurry. You know, we just, you're our person. That's why you're here. That's usually the response you get is, that's why we hired you. No pressure. So that's what you usually walk into as a content designer. You're looking at legacy content, right? And it's not in tip-top shape. The first thing you should do is try to avoid starting to write without taking side notes, right? So it's very easy to just jump in and fix things. I'm telling you this from experience. I came in as a content designer, existing product, been around for a decade or so, and I was like, oh yeah, I got this. And I started just writing how I thought it would sound for XYZ audience and this part in the user journey. The trick is that I went down a rabbit hole and I was doing a lot of writing and sending it out the door to the product managers and the designers, but I wasn't documenting how I think this should sound and why. So don't fall into that trap. Do your work. Yes. Write out like that new UI copy, write out what it is, but start to ask yourself, how would I describe the rationale of writing this micro copy? Are we using a more coaching tone? Are we using a friendly and boisterous tone? Are we conversational? Try to get out of your head and get those notes on paper and look for continuity. If you find yourself saying, oh yeah, enthusiasm here, here, and here on these different touch points of where you're writing your UI, or whatnot, you might be onto something and you might be onto a personality trait that might should live in your style guide or in your brand voice and tone guide. So, you know, do an audit, do the work, but keep side notes, keep track of like your why of your changes. It's so easy again to just like chunk it over the fence, but you don't want to do it in a vacuum. The second thing is, as you're working and you're taking your notes, is starting to talk to other teams involved. Now, this is a little tough because at times, like, people are very busy. They don't have a lot of time to talk about what you want to talk about. Everybody's got a mile-long to-do list, specifically in the product tech world. Nobody is not busy. And you and your concerns might be the last thing on people's mind when you ask them, hey, why don't we write it like this? Well, I don't recommend coming in guns blazing with your writing community. And when I say writing community, I'm talking about the PR writers. I'm talking about your editorial team. I'm talking about your copywriter team on the creative team, if there is one. Anybody else who writes content for the company, because there are others. Support articles, right? Help center folks. Tons of people out there are creating content too, outside of just, you know, the apps and the product experience and the websites. So you want to start to talk to them. Maybe fire up like a Slack channel that is just like, hey gang, I just want to use this Slack channel to talk about words, voice. I don't want to spin up any projects. I don't want to dump any work on anybody. You know, just let people know, like, you just want to stir up a community and talk about the subject of brand voice. You know, you just don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be doing it on your own. And it's good. You might find some like-minded folks or point persons that agree with you and jive with you and want to talk more about what that means and how they think we should sound in their areas. So build that community. So I've worked at very data-focused companies where voice is pretty much the last thing on people's mind. And really, it's because creative might be taking a little bit of a back seat. It's really all about the superior performing product at totally focused on conversion and metrics and data, and a lot of that is what leads the charge. So if you're at a company like that and you're trying to preach something that's a bit more abstract and emotional, like brand voice, you're going to need to build a case. And you can start by doing that by mining for insights. Basically, really starting to connect the dots with research that's out there. And trust me, if it's a data-focused company, most of them have some sort of legacy research. But dig around, talk to your research company, or excuse me, department if you have one. Try to find it if it came from a third party. And look at what people are saying. Look for that qualitative feedback. If people are saying, oh, I feel like I'm very alone when I use this, you know, service, or you know, I'm using Uber and I love it until all of a sudden I'm standing on the street corner waiting, and then I feel like I'm completely alone. You know, start to find signals in different areas of the journey. Kind of like what I was saying when you do the writing. Start to find what people are saying, find pull quotes, find patterns in what people are needing, and then think in your mind, what personality can help support that? Again, is it somebody, you know, if you're doing something for a banking app or something like that, you're going to want someone very professional, very buttoned up, very plain spoken when it comes to their brand voice. Whereas if you're doing something that's kind of more like a social media app, you want something that's a bit more cheery and encouraging, yada, yada. So you get where I'm going. You start to get that research together, you start to connect the dots, and then you start to build a personality in your brain that's going to satisfy these user needs. Dissect that feedback, dig around for it, even ask about like clunky surveys that may be floating around. You know, surveys are great. Sometimes you can find something in there. The customer support team, again, the folks that do help articles and CX and customer service and help centers, sometimes they have like call scripts or call logs where they have captured what people are saying when they use a website, like when they got stuck or something went south. You can start to hear and dissect some patterns with what people need from this company to feel reassured. So that's data-driven companies. And what that's going to do is that's going to give you plenty to start to build a case and start to build a foundation. It's going to be definitely an uphill road, and it's always nice to try to get some advocacy, try to not do it alone, try to work with your research teams if you have one, work with your product managers to say, hey, we don't have this voice. Could we maybe test it in this one section of the product on one page? Maybe if we flip it to all sound in this voice hypothesis that I have, we can see some traction and some performance, and then we can spread it elsewhere. So it's very incremental. It's very incremental at data-driven companies. So go do your homework. Go find it. It takes time. Be patient. Be kind to yourself. And get some advocates. Okay. Emotive companies / founder-driven companies. See, these are what I call the fun ones, but they're still a challenge when you find when you want to build a brand voice and tone for these. Odds are, when it comes to very emotive-driven companies, ones that kind of back off from data, they have founders and leadership that are very passionate about the company. They're very driven. They have vision. They are moving things forward. They're not necessarily relying on every single study or data move to make a move. They believe in it. And really, they're going to want to see a piece of themselves in the brand. That's about kind of how that cookie crumbles when it comes to the emotive founder-driven company types. So with these types of companies, if you're starting out and you're wanting to build that voice, the best place to start is to maybe interview the founder. Try to pull even 15 minutes with them or their trusted leadership team, maybe the C-suite team, and just listen. Try to get a glimpse of the vision that they're going for. They're going to be really hot on brand purpose, which we'll talk about in another episode. They're going to be really hot on vision and where they think people are going, who they're catering to. They know their audience better than anybody else. And so they, in a sense, embody the voice and the person that their audience wants to see. I feel like brands like Outdoor Voices did this really well. If you ever listen to an interview from Ty Haney from the athleisure company Outdoor Voices and or read kind of her interviews, you realize that she has this really awesome, fair weather, cool, friendly, wink nudge kind of personality to her. And you kind of see it when you walk by the stores and read their copy or read the copy on their websites. There's a little bit of her in a lot of the voice there, and it still stands today. Obviously, I'm sure she had a say in it. I'm sure she was top editor. But naturally, founders and leadership with a lot of gusto and a lot of momentum, they're definitely going to want a piece of personality of their personality in it. So interview them, look for signals, listen to them, listen to their personality traits. Ask them hard questions like, where do you want to be in 5 years? Maybe start a little mini podcast. There's an idea like, hey, I'm going to start an internal company podcast. It'd be nice to kind of just grab you for a 15-minute episode and interview you. Ask them what role they want to play in people's lives. Really get to know them and get to watch interviews with them on YouTube. That's another great thing. But get to know the founders and get to know who they are, because there's going to be a piece of their personality that falls into the brand. Competitive research is also hot with this set of type of company. So emotional companies and founders, like, they know their competition, right? They know who they're after. They know who they don't want to be. So doing your homework on that front is super, super important. So the last thing in this podcast that I'll say is definitely, definitely, definitely the audience. At the end of the day, we as content designers are the empathetic defenders of the audience. If there is any research out there in terms of your target audience, specifically who they are, what they want, the price that they're paying for the product, then you're getting close to what this voice should really be. And you need to really dig for that research if you have it and double down on that. That's probably the most important thing to do out of all of these. Because at the end of the day, how you sound and your voice should be a sum of all the desires and things that your audience wants. When you get close to your audience, you get close to the purpose of the brand. And one little Mad Lib that I like to use as a setup is, if the purpose of your brand, for example, Patagonia is on a mission to save the planet, if the purpose is to save the planet, then our persona should be XYZ. This is super important because Patagonia knows their purpose, save the planet, but if you notice, their persona is not this boisterous, fun, crazy, wild person. It's actually a very tame, educated, serious voice that really emphasizes and supports the purpose of the brand. And really, when you put those two things together, the purpose and the voice, then you have accomplished what everybody wants, which is authenticity. So, target audience research, don't leave home without it. If it's there, great. Read it, get to know it. And that should be a good mirror reflection of what your voice should do. And those are the rules that you want to build against. So this is basically it for part one. Thank you so much for listening. Again, it's just a little bit of a foundation, and signal gathering and kind of pre-work that you want to do before you actually start building rules for a brand voice. And in part two, we'll use a faux case study and we will get into the actual build of a brand voice and talk about some pillars, talk about how to workshop that with your teams, best ways to kind of make sure that you're building a guide that people are going to actually read and love. We'll get into all that in the next episode. So my name is Neil Petty. This is Storytelling for Content Design. Appreciate you listening. Let's learn about brand voice some more. Let's get excited about it. Email me any questions you might have at sfcdpodcast@gmail.com. Have an awesome day and see you at the next one. Storytelling for Content Design is a podcast from Yodo, who brings your brand story to life through the power of words. Yodo is a brand storytelling consultancy. We specialize in the voice, personality, and statements that make your products and your team stand out. Find out more at yodocreative.com. That's yototto creative.com.